If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase 2. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Texas and Mississippi. Texas, I think it's a big mistake. Look, I hope everybody's realized by now, these masks make a difference. We are on the cusp of being able to fundamentally change the nature of this disease because of the way in which we're able to get vaccines in people's arms. We've been able to move that all the way up to the end of May to have enough for every American, to get every adult American to get a shot. And the last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it.
Okay, so 2 things before we jump all over this. Number one, it's the Dana Show. I'm Dana Lash. Welcome to the show. Let us fellowship. Number two, I broke my tooth in half on a milk dud. I can't get to the dentist until after I do my job. So I'm going to rip out throats today. So I'm going to project it into this microphone. I can barely even breathe through my mouth because it's so sensitive. Not that I'm a mouth breather. Number three, if we want to have a discussion about Neanderthal thinking, let's talk about the Neanderthal policy of Neanderthal-y releasing individuals, Neanderthal-like, all throughout the country after Neanderthal-y like not testing people, or when the city volunteers and officials are able to scramble and test them and then they're positive and you still allow people to board buses anyway and travel throughout the rest of the country. Let's talk about that Neanderthal policy that was, by the way, renewed, the catch and release. It was the end of the EO. It was the end of the new Biden executive order that undid the 40, what it was called policy 42 under Trump. And it revived the catch and release policy. All these people who have not said a word about the catch and release policy that is filtering illegal entrants throughout the country that are coronavirus positive, that is the Neanderthal policy. And all the people who have not said anything about it are fake concerned. You're not really concerned about people. If you were really concerned about people, you would have criticized this order the moment that it came out that city officials on the border were unable to keep up with the demand of testing and identifying people who were positive, some people who weren't social distancing or wearing your precious masks. That's a Neanderthal policy. And I'm waiting for the media to accuse him of racism and or sexism for using this slur against law-abiding Americans who simply want the law to be applied equally. That was a Neanderthal comment from a Neanderthal. Welcome to the show, like I said. So I am, it is a do not allow these people, number one, to trick you into thinking that somehow they are in any way concerned about the spread of a pandemic while they have said nothing about one of the worst policies that I would say. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but if I wanted to destabilize Texas and make it look like Greg Abbott was killing people, then I would probably demand that Border Patrol not test people coming into the border, not give them the means to do it either. And I would probably demand that they release them all throughout the country. I wrote a piece about this, and I made this one public, actually, because I was so mad about it. And that's what's been happening. I'm going to go through this with you. We're going to get into some other news, But this is because it's trending what Abbott failed Texas, which I think is a separate issue. By the way, I can talk, and let me just give a note to some conservatives out there. I am so sick and tired of people trying to get me involved in some kind of turf war. I don't give a rat's ass about your turf war. I don't care. I am so tired of it. I'll call out bad behavior. I'll give credit for good behavior. I didn't move down to Texas to enjoy the freedom so I could hop on somebody else's bandwagon and drop my independence at the border. I'm done with it. I did not get in this to be friends with anybody. And that goes across both sides. As I said yesterday, and I think this pretty much kind of covers it, I am not going to thank a politician for returning to me rights that they had no right to take in the first place. That being said, the hashtag Abbott failed Texas because of the border situation is this, because the situation with the masks and all that and ending that mandate next week, it's stupid. Did you see some of the graphics these people have been sharing? So they've been making these cutie little graphics, like the come and take it flag, right? Little cutie graphics. And they came out with one where it shows the mask and it says, come and take it. Because apparently the people all over social media have missed the fact that no one is forcing them to not wear masks. No one's telling you to take your mask off. They're not confiscating your mask like you want to confiscate guns. They are not telling you that you cannot wear your mask. They're not telling you not to buy masks, not to carry masks, not to possess masks. In fact, you can put masks all over your damn head. I don't care. You can walk out into the street in clothing made entirely from nothing but masks. I would actually prefer to not see most of the people bitching about this. I am okay if you want to cover your entire head with a mask. Totally fine. Because I'm a grown adult who is just living her life and wants to get her tooth put back together. And I just don't care. I'm busy. I am not like some of these Karens out here who have nothing else to do except bitch at people about masks, right? I'm not a mask hole. But that's what they're arguing. They are literally with the all over it. That's trending with the masks. Come and take it. Because apparently telling people that you have the freedom to wear a mask or not to wear a mask is apparently the same thing as we're going to take your masks. Vanity Fair had a piece where they said Texas and Mississippi are apparently duking it out to see who can kill more people with COVID. The barely legible Vanity Fair. This, I looked at this article for a little bit. Guess what I didn't see in this article? If you want to have a discussion about killing the most people, guess what I didn't see in this article? I'll tell you because I just have no patience today. If you guessed that they had nothing in this article at all whatsoever about people being released into the rest of the country through Texas, not being tested or being tested and it coming up positive, then yes, you were correct. If you guessed that they didn't say anything about that, you are correct. I mean, literally not one sentence, not one single sentence. Not one. If you don't say anything about it and you act like you're concerned about the coronavirus and you haven't said anything about this policy, you haven't criticized it, you haven't been angrier over this policy than anything else, you're not really concerned. You're a concerned troll. You're pretending to care about lives that you don't really care about. And you don't really care about the pandemic. You just want to use it as a political tool, which in fact makes you just as bad as, actually, you're the Neanderthal. Now come to think of it, that makes you the Neanderthal. So, no one's trying to take anyone's masks. Someone noted to me that it's a bunch of California imports who get the vapors because they were left to make a determination about their own freedom. In fact, I think we should post everywhere, no masks allowed, no mask required, no masks required, because it maybe if that keeps the Californians out of Texas, I'm okay with that. Apparently, putting up signs at the border trying to direct them to Oklahoma and saying that that's Texas didn't work. So this is, it's a real problem. This is a real problem. And I was looking at the numbers this morning And New York and New Jersey, guess what? New York and New Jersey are the states that are actually duking it out for who can kill the most, if you want to use that stupid rhetoric. Speaking of rhetoric, can we play the Beto? Can we play his audio? And I am going to get even more vicious because, again, if you're just tuning in, I didn't have leg day today. I broke my stupid tooth in half on a milk dud. And I'm waiting like a professional, unlike Beto, who does he work? I don't know, to do my job before I go into the dentist because that's how much I love you. So I'm just mad and I'm, I hate the world today. But I want you to listen to this audio soundbite because I feel as though every time I hear him speak, I feel like the same. How can I describe this in words you can understand? Dads, hear me out. Moms, you may get this too. Kane, you got sons. You like sports, right?
I do.
Your kids like sports?
Yeah.
Imagine, you know, you're playing with your son for the first time and you're throwing a ball to him and you realize your child, your son, cannot catch. He will never be able to catch in his life because he's horrible at it. And you get this, like, feeling similar to what I get every single time Beto opens his mouth and utters anything. To wit, this was him talking to some chick on MSNBC.
They literally want to sacrifice the lives of our fellow Texans for, I don't know, for political gain, to satisfy certain powerful interests within the state. And this isn't hyperbole. You heard our lieutenant governor, arguably one of the most powerful positions in the state of Texas, say on Fox News at the beginning of the pandemic, we are willing to die. Old people are willing to sacrifice their lives in order for the economy to reopen.
It's not hyperbole. That's actually literally hyperbole. It's absolutely high. But you know what? Good job for Beto. He was able to put down his non-American made strat and stop playing Wonderwall for 2 seconds and opine on this issue. Good job. Was he able to get a job at his dad-in-law's furniture store again? Was it a furniture store? Is that what he owns? What does he do? I don't know. I don't know what he does. At least he's not drunk driving anymore, if you want to have a discussion about sacrificing lives. And so he is off the road, and I mean, maybe not off the liquor, but at least he's not drunk driving anymore. I mean, they literally want a sacrifice card.
He's taking the John Kerry path of life. That's what he's doing.
I cannot stand the way he speaks. I can't. And it's like every single time I'm gonna make another weird analogy. Have you ever, like, say you're out with friends? And when I was younger, and we would go and we'd like play pool with friends, and we'd go to the bar and have a couple drinks and we'd hang out. And sometimes, you know, they'd have karaoke night. I don't mind karaoke so long as it's people who can carry a tune in a bucket, which does not describe most of the population. And you always have, like, you know, some chick or some dude get up there and they act like there's a secret American Idol, like, scout in the audience somewhere. And this is their moment. Oh. And they've been practicing in the shower their whole lives for this moment. And they get up there and they give it everything they got. It's like Beto treats every single media availability as though this is his one shot. The secret political scouts, they're gonna actually use me for something other than just like registering voters. And he goes all in with the zeal of a 12-year-old. And it's just so cringe. He is the most cringe candidate. He makes Pete Buttigieg not look like a dork. And that's a very difficult thing to do.
How do you do, fellow kids?
There you go. All right. So we got a lot more to touch on, including some of the latest with the Senate. And, of course, just, I don't know, we got a lot of things to, I'm aggravated over this. It's not even just something that has to do with Texas. I mean, this is affecting everybody else in the country because all of these people are coming through the portal of Texas and then going elsewhere. And, you know, people need to be very, I mean, should be up in arms about this. So we've got, we're also going to talk about is something like happening today? I don't know. Well, like, why is the media obsessed with March 4th and QAnon? I don't know. We'll talk about that too. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grape seed extract. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just two delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase two. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I'm not sure why they're doing this in Virginia. So Virginia residents are fighting back because there's a county regulation that would limit how they display the American flag. So this is in Fairfax County, and it's like this proposed zoning amendment that would limit how people may display it. And it says they believe that the display of the flag should be exempt from this ordinance, blah, blah, blah. They want to make the displays more uniform, so everything has to be kind of the same size, like the height of the flag, the distance between flags, basically like where you put your flag, how close to the street it is. This seems like a non-solution to a problem that doesn't exist. Why is this something that is being debated? I'm super curious about this. I don't understand. I feel like I need to go get... I thought this was a potato when I first saw this. So Kane found this link, and when he sent it to me, I just saw the photo first because that's how it came up in my little reader. So this woman... This is really gross. This was on the beach in Thailand. I thought this was a potato. She found a 15-pound thing of whale vomit near her home. And that's not the... No. It's worth six figures. A woman in Thailand couldn't believe her luck. She stumbled across a six-figure piece of whale vomit. It looks like a giant potato. She was walking along the beach after a rainstorm. She noticed a large mass wash up on the shore. She noticed that it smelled awful, like fish, and dragged. So she just was like, I'm going to take this, because that's what normal people do, right? And then dragged the mass away from the beach, thinking somehow she found money. And it weighs 15 pounds. It has a six-figure value. Six figures. I need to get into the whale vomit business. Stick with us.
Hey, everyone. The left is always trying to tell us how terrible America is and how it needs to be transformed. I'm here to tell you how great America is and why we need to preserve it. I'm Sarah Carter. And on the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll tell you why I was so encouraged by my visit to CPAC and the great people in this country determined to preserve our freedoms. On each episode, we'll expose the leftist agenda targeting your liberties and how you can keep what matters most to you. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Thank you, thank you. And I'm happy to take questions if that's what I'm supposed to do, Nance, whatever you want me to do.
Is he going to take it? That was awkward. That was awkward. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure that you subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. So that was Joe Biden doing a conference call with Nancy Pelosi. Let me pull up my... And he goes, well, I'm happy to take questions. What the confusion is that the question portion was not supposed to be public. Like, all the cameras were supposed to be off. And he didn't know. So that was awkward. Very awkward. 44 days today. No press conference. He's not as president. He's yet to give hold a single press conference. Right.
Yeah.
Why is that? Again, I'm not. I don't know if I've ever gone into this before. I am not one of those individuals that's going to... I'm not a doctor. I like to play one on radio. I am a doctor of stupidity, though. I can identify in others very well. It's all over the United States. But I don't like to play armchair psychologist, psychiatrist, doctor, and act as though I you know, and diagnose people with having Alzheimer's or something, you know, something else. I mean, that's like serious stuff. And just like, I don't like it when, you know, you have veterans that come back for serving and if they have PTSD, et cetera. I don't like aspersions cast about their character because of, you know, people who are going to do keyboard diagnoses on what they're dealing with, or people who act like all mental illness is the same and everybody's dangerous. There's nuance here. I think it's a serious issue. However, that being said, and I realize that the left does not afford us the same courtesy, but I don't allow the left to prescribe reactions for me. However, that being said, I do think it's weird that it's been 44 days since he has not, as president, had a single commandeered and held a single press conference himself. I do think it's weird. I would think it's weird if Trump hadn't done it. I would be like, okay, wait, where's the press conference? Where's this at? And I want to briefly go back to something that we talked about. Was this last week or the week before? No, it was last week. Because back in January, he gave remarks and it was on, I want to say that it was like broadcast on like PBS or NPR or something like that. Remember? Mm-hmm. And he was saying, well, next month I'm going to give my address. I'm going to talk to the joint session of Congress and give my remarks on, more remarks on my plan, you know, my coronavirus recovery, et cetera. And the Associated Press and other media, they were calling it the State of the Union. The left got hung up on that so that they could deflect from the fact that it never actually happened, because apparently a February 23rd date had been floated. It came and went. And then now we don't know if Biden's ever going to say anything. I mean, he won't even have a press conference. So whenever you would try to ask it, that the left was attacking people who would bring up, who would just simply question and ask, okay, well, where? He was going to make remarks on the 23rd that came and went. You know, we understand if there's going to be some other issues that come up, but, you know, you do need to come back and let people know what's going on, especially since he himself stated that he was going to do this. And as far as the press conference, it's just weird to me. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and diagnose him with some kind of like cognitive issue, but it doesn't inspire confidence in the person who holds the office when they don't address the press. They will not take public questioning like that. They've only taken a tiny handful of questions publicly. And then the press conferences are always, without exception, cut short and he's escorted out. It does not inspire a lot of confidence in the person, regardless of whether or not you agree with their party politics. And we're at the point where it sort of feels like Americans are a little like, who's driving this thing? I'm not being a conspiracy theorist. I'm just telling you that's what people feel like. I think it would go a long way if he had a press conference and took questions, started off with coronavirus stuff or, you know, whatever. But I have to tell you, this Neanderthal thing that he's sitting here saying when he's talking about these states, Mississippi and Texas, he has had stronger words for Republican-run states that have lower fatality rates and lower transmission rates than those states that are run by Democrat governors, where you have body counts that are higher due to negligence, bad governing. They have not said anything anywhere close about Cuomo the way that they've talked about some of these Republican governors. Now, I want you to keep that in perspective whenever you hear anyone tell you that they're, oh, well, he's just so concerned about this. People who are concerned genuinely over an issue don't wait until it's politically advantageous for their side to remark on it. People who are genuinely concerned about an issue are consistent when pointing out inadequacies that further compound the issue. That is why I cannot take any of these people seriously, because if they were legitimately concerned, you would not have the decisions coming down from the Resolute desk that you do. I want to make a clarification here, because you've been hearing this number 108, right? And this is all in my newsletter. You've been hearing this number 108. Oh, well, there's been 108 illegal entrants that have been released into the country. That is incorrect. That is 108 illegal entrants from from January 25th to February 3rd in Brownsville. That's just one. That's 108 from testing in Brownsville from February 25th. Sorry, why do I keep doing that? January 25th to February 3rd. So in 1 week in Brownsville, when city officials were doing tests, 108 individuals were coronavirus positive. Those were just the people they were able to test in that 1 week period in one town by the border. 108. That is not for everybody. Now you think of all the other places, all the other border sectors where they are dealing with an influx. And you also realize that this is a federal policy, the executive order. Again, you need to get the newsletter. I went through every bit of this. It's the revived catch and release system. It is one of the first things. It was a three-part executive order from Joe Biden. And this is from NBC, Bloomberg. This is also from Associated Press, New York Post. Some local reporting as well. It was the revival of the catch and release system. It was an executive order that revoked Trump's ending of this practice. Now, there's two things that are going on here. So you have the catch and release, where you have illegal entrants that are trying to enter the country. Then you have the asylum seekers. And they used to be a part of this, Stay in Mexico program, where this was under Trump, where they had to stay in Mexico so that we could control the process of going through and then evaluating who's coming in, right? Okay, well, that's done away with. So it was a three-part executive order that did away with all this that Joe Biden signed his first week of office. And so now McAllen, Mayor Jim Darling said just this week that city officials met with U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials, and that they told them last week, the week prior, that family units, the illegal entrants that are traveling with kids that are taking advantage of the Flores Amendment, that are crossing into South Texas, are now being paroled into the United States as they await their asylum proceedings. Now, this was different than how it operated under Trump. And Mexico is not even honoring that so-called stay in Mexico if you're seeking asylum. They're not even honoring that anymore. Now, there are a lot, people are allowed to remain in the United States, and then during their immigration proceedings, however many years that may take. And McAllen Mayor Jim Darling said that there are concerns not everyone's being tested before they travel elsewhere. Now, here's the Brownsville case. This is from NBC News. And I have this link opened up. This was published March 2nd, 8 p.m. Central Time. And it talks about the administrators, the city of Brownsville. They had to get the rapid test because it's a federal law, but yet cities are supposed to handle all of the testing. They have to buy them. They have to acquire them, everything. Now this was from just like a week here. They said that since they began doing these tests on January 25th, and they are citing this interview that took place the first week of February, that just in this one spot, that's where you have the positive 108. And that is only 6.3% when they're looking at people who are coming in. They said that in response to Telemundo, a spokesperson for the city said in an email that Brownsville does not have the authority to retain these illegal entrants who plan to travel to dozens of cities throughout the country. The city, and I'm quoting NBC, assured that municipal workers recommend to those who test positive to make sure you quarantine. That's all they're told. Now, Brownsville is like, we're following all the guidelines here, but we can't enforce things after people leave. Now, there are organizations that have been helping voluntarily because the government makes this huge problem, and then these cities have to go into their budgets and deal with the mess. And those who tested positive, by the way, spoke to Telemundo. And they said that they did not have any document indicating their test results. They were simply told after they took the test and released. Yeah. They said that some of the cases are referred to local health systems for appropriate treatment. Wow. Now, here's the other thing. This is going to make you really mad. At the station, Martin Fernandez, an Omnibus Express worker, said that the bus company where he works respects the protocols of federal authorities. Passengers must wear masks on board the vehicle and use hand sanitizer gel, but they cannot, he clarified, ask passengers for their coronavirus tests before they board the bus and then go elsewhere throughout the country. They are barred. Now, all the people that are mad simply because Texas said the choice of wearing a mask is up to you. These people have not said a peep about this. You ask yourself how serious their concern is. Oh, I have a lot more on this. You're going to be mad. You're going to be mad today. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase too. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa, and then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
The only way I know how to improve it is with a shredder. It's not even a coronavirus bill. Calling this a coronavirus bill is like calling Harvey Weinstein a feminist. It's chock full of spending porn, billions of dollars to states and local governments that have seen their revenues go up, billions of dollars to pension programs, billions of dollars to schools with no requirement that they open. It's an orgy of pork.
An orgy of pork. That would be like a good pop-up restaurant, right? Pork orgy? Yeah, it's like a food truck. Don't steal it, because I mean, everything goes to hell. People still want, you know, food. Pork orgy, and it's just like a bunch of pigs on top of a food truck, and, you know, you go around, you sell pork products. You're welcome. Oh, man. Back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. That is John Kennedy of Louisiana, Senator John Kennedy, who, by the way, he's my youngest favorite. My youngest hears him from anywhere. If news is on, and he will come into the room to watch the TV because he knows he's going to say something funny. We got to listen to this. This is just some of my favorite quips from Senator Kennedy, who will one day leave my voicemail greeting. He'll make my voicemail greeting. Listen.
Chairman Schiff's doing what he's told. I think if you took Speaker Pelosi and turned her upside down and shook her, then Chairman Schiff would fall right out of her pocket. Bam, hit the floor. Expression before, but I can't think of a better one. He's flip-flopped on this issue like a bank catfish. Mr. Comey is a meathead. He's a political hack.
I don't mean any disrespect, but it must suck to be that dumb.
Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, someone needs to tell her that the voices in her head are not real. Speaker Pelosi and Chairman Schiff are as rigged as a carnival ring toss, and we both know that. Mr. Brennan needs to take off his tin hat and get a job. They are immeasurably foolish. They're going to gut Louisiana like a fish. Otherwise, they're not seeking out the truth. They've got to be equal opportunity a-holes, if you will. I mean, you know, put down the bong. That's just not realistic. Again, I say this gently, and I say this hopefully constructively to my friends in the House leadership. The House leadership needs to urinate or get off the pot.
That ain't how that phrase goes. That's not how it goes. You know that. Oh my goodness. He has the best one-liners. The best. He needs a merch. He needs like a storefront. Right? Like Senator Kennedy says. And just start merching out his sayings. Right? Gosh. Why don't we have those? Come on, man. Merch yourself out. Everybody's doing it. All right. So we have coming up. The latest, not just with the coronavirus bill, because they're fighting over that still, and it's they've kind of delayed it. We're going to discuss everything that's happening with that. Biden calls on states to vaccinate teachers by the end of March, even though the CDC said, you know, it's not necessary. We'll discuss that as well. And when is he going to take questions again? When is he going to have a press conference? I'm curious. We're going to get into that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show after this.
Thank you for the question. I think we at the CDC have been very clear that now is not the time to release all restrictions. I do think that, as I said in my remarks, the next month or two is really pivotal in terms of how this pandemic goes. As we scale up vaccination, we really do need to decrease the amount of virus that is circulating as we're trying to vaccinate all the public.
That is Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director on Texas fully reopening. And guess what? It's actually fine. She's like, it's not the time to release all restrictions. Not all restrictions have been released. That's a straw man argument. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you go and subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter, because if you're not doing it, then you're not fully prepared. Just the way it is. Just how it is. All right. So I have to immediately address this one stupid argument that I see popping up. I wrote about this because I see this happening. I see this coming up and being used again. I wrote about this particular argue this is back in November of last year, because I have people say now this is how they're going to try to shut you up. They're going to try to make you look like you're unreasonable by trying to say that this is the same thing as the questions or protests against the seatbelt law. By the way, that's like a state by state thing. Right. State law. What's the difference between federal law and state law? I don't know. I really want to be in this argument, though, so I'm just going to argue stuff. It's like I'm watching Syphil and Ollie, watching some of these people respond to some of these ideas that are so far above their head. Bless. So, I keep seeing people make this argument that it's, and I retweeted one of them, where they were saying that, well, this is, you know, this is putting other people at risk if you refuse to wear a mask. Why are seatbelts mandated? Well, let's see here. Driving isn't a right, Precious. It's not. Breathing unobstructed is. Driving's not a right, though. And there's a difference between rights and privileges. And I just think, now, you know, call me crazy, but I just think that if you're going to lecture other people about rights and privileges, then you should know what rights and privileges are and the difference between the two. Is that asking too much, Kane? For people to know what they're talking about before they talk about it?
They seem to know about privilege, with all that white privilege they like to throw around.
If it ever happens to where I can force the NFL to hire me to be a commentator for a football game, just one time as a lesson to all these people to not talk about crap that they don't know about, I will do it just for that.
What would that sound like?
I don't know. Give me, like, here, let me find me a football clip and throw it on for the people watching the simulcast on Pluto. And I will commentate over it. I don't know anything about listening to me talk about football is like hearing Joe Biden talk about guns, except it's probably even worse than that. Chris is my husband. God love him. Has tried to explain to me. I did learn a couple of things about the game. I don't know. Actually, I'm just trying to remember. I know that there is. I don't even know all the positions. This is going to sound horrible. I almost don't even want to ask this question because it's embarrassing. Kane, don't laugh at me and any one of you people before you judge me. You just remember how I know gun law and I can diagram sentences. Right, I just don't know anything. I can't know everything about everything.
Straight face.
The refrigerator was a nickname for a guy, not a position, right?
Yes, that is true.
Okay.
The refrigerator is not a position in football.
Okay.
It was the nickname.
Shut up, all of you.
For a player.
Okay.
Who was rather large in the size of a refrigerator.
And I am assuming he was in a defensive position.
You know what? I don't know, because he was so big. He was offensive line. Like, I thought he might have been an offensive line, but either way, he's a lineman. A guy that size is a lineman. There is no other position for that guy.
And those are...
But he was famous because they let him play running back.
I don't know how Glaive knows this. It's Glaive Gilbert. That's true.
We had some other things for him, actually.
Okay, and okay.
Run the ball, it was like... It's like watching toddlers try to tackle an adult.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of what it looked like when the refrigerator would run the ball.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I get it. And they just actually called him refrigerator.
Yeah.
Because he was so large.
Yeah.
Yep. Are refrigerators really that large?
They
maybe Nancy Pelosi's.
Have you ever tried to hug a refrigerator?
No. Okay. Yes, actually.
So now you're gonna get the idea of how big this guy was.
Yeah. Okay.
There
I get it.
Right. It's still alive, right?
My parents' fridge is like as tall. I don't know how we're on this. Okay. Long story short. Oh, that's right. We can't show NFL stuff. Well, just imagine me talking about football. Like, I'm just assuming we're showing something on Pluto, and I'm just assuming that the dude's in the blue. Is that guy the quarterback, the guy running right there? No, he's the, I don't know what he is.
Oh, what you're seeing on, okay.
Does the quarterback just throw the ball?
Yeah,
I don't know anything about football. Learn a lesson from the people who are trying to argue about the difference between rights and privileges and they don't know the difference between them. It's the same thing as me trying to talk about football.
Right, great analogy.
Kane, I just don't think that these people should do this. Why should this quarterback person have this ball all by himself and run away? He should share it with some of these other refrigerator linemen. See?
He does share it.
Sounds like the same thing.
But sounds like you're the right. Same thing. You're right. That would be really frustrating.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Half of America would want to strangle me. Probably the other half that doesn't now. I'm just saying. All right. So people need to just stop making... There's a difference between rights and privileges. That's the whole point. And the idea that you're going to somehow argue for masks because of that. And again, state law and federal law, privileges are permissions that are controllable. They're subject to conditions. Privileges are things granted by people. Guess what isn't? Breathing. Breathing is a right. Right? Rights are immutable. These are things that are immutable. You could say that they are immutable permissions that were granted by way of birth, not people. So that's the difference between rights and privileges. People create privileges. You get rights by way of birth. Or when you become a citizen. There you go. That's how it is. That's the difference. So here's the thing. If people still want to run with this stupid seatbelt comparison, when you get into a car and you put on your seatbelt, can you adjust the height of your seatbelt?
Yes.
Can you adjust the tightness of your seatbelt?
Yes.
Can you adjust where on your shoulder and waist the said seatbelt lies?
Yep.
Yes, you can. And you choose to wear your seatbelt because you choose to get in the car and drive the car in which the seatbelt is fixed, correct?
So far, all choices.
And sometimes, maybe you don't even want to wear a seatbelt, which, you know, don't risk the ticket, but some people choose not to. And if you ride in a school bus, the funny thing about seatbelts is the more people you have in a vehicle, and the larger the vehicle, the more dangerous it is on the road, you don't have to wear a seatbelt. It's amazing. You can even choose to take public transit. You can choose to not drive at all. You can choose to walk. You can choose to ride a bike. You cannot choose to not wear a face mask. If there's a face mask mandate in, driving isn't a right. Breathing is. It is a stupid law or a stupid comparison. And it doesn't even have the full force or effect of the law, by the way, just to FYI. And if this was really about saving lives, then why are we not, why wouldn't they mandate the N95? That's the other thing. If it was about saving lives, they wouldn't have asked, they wouldn't have said, oh, just wear whatever. Whatever covers your face. These are dumb comparisons. All right, so a few other things that I want to make sure that we're hitting, because we have some cancel culture stuff and all and other things as well. So they are going to, let me pull this up. I want to get into the vaccine passport situation. Have you noticed that there is, so there's a vaccine passport app for international travel that is looking to launch in the next couple of weeks. And I'm here's the thing for it. So they said that there is, and this is for UK. And I would imagine, because I have a ton of notes on this. Let me pull up some of my stuff. I have more notes on this than I actually wanted to get into. But I've noticed that there are a lot of discussions about travel, not even just internationally, but even so much as domestically, about how you might have to have some kind of like immigrate or some kind of like vaccine card or something like that in order to get on certain flights. And I know that there have been some airlines that have been discussing this. Nothing's official, it's coming at some point, just so you know. I really do think that they're going to have some kind of vaccine. You're going to have like a vaccine card or something like that. It's coming. And then that's going to be a whole other fight. But I've seen this. And I was also, I have a couple of things on this, but they're already developing this for UK. When I was looking, because we haven't been on a family trip in over a year, and I really wanted to go somewhere for spring break. And so I was, you know, looking at all the different places maybe we could go. Hawaii, you have to download this contract tracing stuff on your phone, a government, you have to put government stuff on your phone. And there's a lot of restrictions. Now, keep in mind that these places are still, it's full cost, full. You're not getting a discount on anything. And then when I was looking at, you know, some of the islands in the Caribbean, the one that seemed the least insane was Puerto Rico. Like, you have to provide a test, you know, negative test X amount of hours before you come in and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, they didn't seem like all high strung, right? When I was looking at, some of these islands are totally closed. St. Barts is closed. I just was looking at even at places we've never been and don't have plans to go. Bahamas, they do the contract tracing and all this stuff. And you have to have like the mask to walk on the beach and then to leave the beach. And I was looking at Turks and Caicos, and that's even, you have to have like all this insurance, and you have to prove that you have this a special health travel insurance and ambulatory insurance, and masks are required on the beach, which is insane to me because nobody wants that face tan. And I don't want to go anywhere badly enough to have to do all this stuff and pay full price. You know what I mean? Especially if a lot of these places, there are restaurants and that aren't even open full capacity. I think at TCI, they're not even, I think it's still curbside and pickup. So I think I'm going to put a heat lamp out there and just sit in my yard at this point, right?
You won't need the heat lamp soon here in Dallas.
No, you won't need it soon. But do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Although I am thinking about Florida. I'm just going to Florida because people there are normal, right? They're normal. They're not going to get all up in your business. They just want to go and do their thing too. And they put pants on alligators and carry them around like babies down there. And there's something about that I love. Okay, dumb question. You can't tame gators, right? Like, can you tame a gator? I'm sure you can tame anything, right? I feel like this is like a, you know, meet the parents kind of dialogue. But because there's this video, one of my favorite videos from Florida ever, is this dude in a cowboy hat, and he's going into an ice cream shop, and he picks up this little gator who's sitting on the ground chilling, and he's wearing cutoffs. The gator's wearing cutoffs. And he picks him up and carries him like a toddler into the store. And I'm like, that's adorable. It's the only time I've ever said that about a gator. And then it just made me wonder, you know, can you get them to be tame? And not, I mean, like, not bite your throat out. I'm curious. And eat your other pets.
I mean, why not? I mean, if you get them as babies, like little tiny little alligators, and raise them, I'm thinking you could probably get a.
Yeah.
You can make them domesticated.
I just thought they looked funny in pants. I want chickens for the same reason, exactly. Just so I can put pants on them. I'm not going to lie. All right. So we got a lot of other stuff coming up here. You don't want to miss it. Patriot Mobile is a longtime supporter of my show, helping to bring you free conservative radio. This year, Patriot Mobile is bringing even more to my loyal listeners with expanded wireless coverage. If you've contacted Patriot Mobile before and they didn't have the coverage you wanted, I urge you to call now. Their expanded coverage also comes with even lower pricing options. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, you get the broadest coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks with a company you can trust. Patriot Mobile gives back a portion of every dollar earned to support organizations in which you believe. Call now and receive Patriot Mobile's premier activation at no additional charge. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for premier activation and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, their plans, your freedom.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So this is making me sad. That with the sale of the Venetian, the Las Vegas Sands is exiting the Strip. They're selling the iconic Venetian Casino and Resort, which is the place to stay when you're in Vegas, and withdrawing from gambling operations after changing the nature of the casino business there and about everyone else. Now, the name of the Venetian, the Expo Center, as well as the Palazzo Cane and the Sands Luxury Casino and the Resort, it's all part of the same complex. It's going to remain, and the company's headquarters will stay in Vegas. But the company that was led by Sheldon Adelson until his death, he passed away this year, will effectively cease U.S. operations. In fact, the company's focus turned to Asia some years ago, where revenue outpaced even operations on the Strip. So it's a two-part deal, and they're buying the casino and resort and all assets. So how is this going to change? I'm curious, because I will not stay anywhere else but the Venetian when I go to Vegas, because that's I mean, it's when SHOT Show happens and everything else, but every room's a suite and everything's right there. What else do you need, right? Cruises around the world, are selling out more than a year in advance. Everybody has cabin fever. So now 930 passenger ships, Viking Ocean Cruises, they have filled two of its nearly identical 930 passenger ships. That's insane. Like a year in advance. And they said the only cabins that were not sold were those blocked off for potential quarantine needs. Wow. So if you wanted to get a cruise on those, you're going to be waiting over a year. Stick with us.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
How does comparing someone to a Neanderthal help convince them to change course and get on board with your public health message?
The behavior of a Neanderthal, just to be very clear, the behavior of. Look, I think the president, what everybody saw yesterday was a reflection of his frustration and exasperation, which I think many American people have, that for almost a year now, people across the country have sacrificed. At many times, they haven't had information they need from the federal government.
So that was Jen Psaki just a little bit ago, responding to press inquiry about Joe Biden and his Neanderthal comment. Welcome back to the show. I am Dana Lash, danalash.com. Good to be with you. We're getting through this week, y'all. So you're telling me that, for instance, Kane, I'm not saying this of you, but I'm going to use you as an example because you're in the room. I can say, you know, that's just, forgive my Portuguese. I can say that's just bitch thinking, Kane.
Oh, wow.
Talking about you.
Wow, calling me.
Like, wow, you've just, you know, that's some bitch thinking. And
how is calling me that ever going to?
No. I mean, like, your action of.
Oh.
Yeah, the behavior of it.
Oh, I see.
That's, you know, just to be clear, the behavior of a bitch.
Weird, because it stings just as much.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. See? What's the.
There's no difference. You're right about that.
So you're telling me you can act like something and not be that thing? So I can say you're, so I can tell somebody else, you know, you're acting like a skank. Mm. Did you just call me a skank? No, I said your behavior of. No, yes. No, just you're totally acting like one. Wow. Nuance, I guess. That doesn't make sense, right?
And nobody followed up with that, by the way. The media was...
No, they were just, they all said that. Mm, that makes so much sense. Honestly, this is why I can't be in the press corps.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't either.
Because I would go, question.
I'd actually stand up.
Yeah, I would say, so if I say that, you know, that's like, you know, Jen, that's a bitch response. I could then come back if you were offended and say, no, I mean like the behavior of
a
bitch.
Them's the new rules.
Right.
Them's the new rules.
I am so going to abuse this.
But did Biden really just say the behavior?
No. I want to go with this. Don't.
Don't ruin it, Kane.
Don't ruin it for me. Don't. Let's. This is a little treat that we all have here. Nobody say anything. Shh. Everybody be quiet. Let's just move on. Because I really want to abuse this really bad.
Let's save that audio.
Go. You can play it again. Yeah, let's go ahead.
What, Biden or Saki?
Yeah, Biden.
All right.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Being able to fundamentally change the nature of this disease because of the way in which we're able to get vaccines in people's arms. We've been able to move that all the way up to the end of May to have enough for every American, to get every adult American to get a shot. And the last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it.
It was not Neanderthal behavior he was talking about. He was talking about Neanderthal thinking.
Mm.
It's not not action, but thought.
Well, thinking is the behavior, Kane. That's what she would say. Yeah, it sounds like he said thinking, not behavior.
But like you said, we'll just keep whatever Jen said.
Yeah, because that is a total invitation. I mean, take the treats when they're offered, right? Even if they think that they're training you, you're really training them. Go ahead. We'll take that one. It's all right. That's a gimme.
How does comparing someone to a Neanderthal help convince them to change course and get on board with your public health message?
The behavior of a Neanderthal, just to be very clear.
Wow. This is where, can I just cop leftist rhetoric for a little bit? Can you believe this is where our press conferences are? Like, no. It's the behavior of a Neanderthal. Not that thinking. No, it's that behavior. Oh my gosh. That's where we're at. I will totally have that. I swear this is why I could not be there. I could not be in. I just couldn't. I'm gonna have to actually say something on Twitter because I can't anymore. I'm just, this is really difficult for me, guys. People are like, well, why wouldn't you run for, because I could run for office, because I would just, it would be awful. I'd be a headline every day because I just suffered no fool. I'm not meant for that life, and nor do I want it. So, oh my gosh. Do you guys know that eBay has banned people from reselling Dr. Seuss books?
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Here's the headline. Outrage as eBay removes listings for canceled Dr. Seuss books because they glorify violence. But you can still purchase Mein Kampf chair and... Sorry. And Louis Farrakhan books to be sold.
Dr. Seuss is now about violence? I thought it was racism. Now it's violence?
Yeah, The Cat with a Knife. Don't you know that?
I didn't know about that one.
And really quickly, I was trying to think of words that rhymed with stab. So,
yeah.
The If I Ran the Zoo. What? So if you have that book, it's $510 on eBay. Scrambled Egg Super is $565. The Cat's Quizzer is $630. Wow. And they are, because the Dr. Seuss people said that those six books will no longer be published. Here's a little correction to some of the arguments that I've seen thrown out there for the left. Because the left says things like, well, it's not cancel culture because the company decided... The Dr. Seuss company, they decided to take those titles off after they were unceremoniously dropped. And also they've been dropped from a number of other literacy programs. So that's what people are talking about. No one's talking about Dr. Seuss not wanting to do these titles. We're talking about the reaction of leftists to these titles, number one. And number two, the fact that leftists have dropped them, not just these titles, but Seuss books in general, from a number of literacy programs around the country. That is cancellation. So sit down. Don't have that bitch thinking, like I said, right?
Wait a minute. That you can't say.
No, I mean, the behavior of.
Oh, okay. Never mind. So, right. By the way, did you think the publisher just came up out of the blue with just these six titles that they think they should stop, you know, publishing? That wasn't like that. They didn't just out of the blue say we're going to have to cancel.
Actually, just being rhetorical.
Right. So obviously, it's the left and all this whining about, you know, the exaggeration of certain things that prompted the publisher to do it. It wasn't some freedom on their part. They just did out of the blue. They were responding.
I just still can't believe, I just want to come back to this, that Roald Dahl isn't canceled. He literally wrote, in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, did you hear how he talks about Oompa Loompas?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they don't exist, unless they're little tiny John Boehners, but it's, you would think, right? To say nothing of his raging anti-Semitism, but I'm just talking about, you know, the Oompa Loompas in the book. And then he makes, you know, talks about gluttony with Augustus Gloop, because it's kind of like seven deadly sins, you know. Interesting. And coveting and being in sloth and all of that, see? Yeah, and eBay started removing these books, by the way. They said it violated policies. It's okay to have Mein Kampf. But the Cat's Quizzer? Oh, no. Yeah, you can have anything from Louis Farrakhan. But, and to think I saw it on Mulberry Street? Can't have that book. It's dangerous. Golly. This is actually what someone received. This is the email from eBay they received. They send it to the user. It said, your listing was removed. Offensive material policy. We had to remove your listing because it didn't follow our capitalized offensive material policy. Listings that promote or glorify hatred or violence or discrimination, they aren't allowed. Actual. Yeah. And then it said, we've ended your item. We've refunded your selling fees. As long as you do not relist the item, there will be no negative impact to your account. It's so offensive. I mean, so they're, and it was a woman who was selling them, the Cat's Quizzer. But then you still have seven speeches by Minister Louis Farrakhan, all about hating Jewish people. You can get that. And you can get Mein Kampf on eBay. And, with descriptive bibliography. So you can get all that, but not Dr. Seuss. It's too dangerous. Unbelievable. So that's where we are. It is insane. So I think I think, do I have any of these in our any of our kids' books? I never ever get rid of a book. So I don't know. I just, oh my word. All right. So a couple of other things. House Democrats, the HR1 that I was telling you about, warning you about, Democrats have passed it through the House, which I told you was going to happen. And this is a huge attack, not just on free speech, but also on voting rights, because it looks to nationalize voting. And I don't know how this is. I don't see this being easy going through the Senate, but it did go through the House. It made it through the House. And it's had to deal with it. It tries to control speech through campaign finance laws. It's bad. It's bad all around. So it passed. And now it's going towards the Senate. And then now the Senate is also dealing with a massive debate for the coronavirus bill. And this is where Mitch McConnell's importance comes into play, because he's going to make this as excruciatingly painful as possible, as he should. So the Senate Democrats, remember yesterday I told you how they were making a deal with Biden, Senate Democrats were, to reduce the number of people who would actually receive not the $2,000 checks, but the $1,400 checks. And then they phase out completely for single filers at $80,000 and joint filers at $160,000. And the socialists, the publicly socialist Democrats are infuriated that they had an amendment that was barred where they wanted illegal aliens to receive these checks also. And it was a big old fight. So they say they're close, but they're duking it out. And then, of course, Sanders wants to offer an amendment that's going to raise the minimum wage. And even though the parliamentarian was like, that violates Senate rules, that you can't do that. So we'll keep you updated as to how that fight goes.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man sped through a crash site and told deputies, well, I got business at the Ritz. And I'm fascinated by his mugshot because his head goes right into his shoulders. I don't think he's got a chin. It just goes right in through his shoulders. 24-year-old Florida man was arrested Sunday after he sped through a barricaded crash scene, nearly hitting six deputies, saying that he had business at the Ritz. Joshua Gachman was driving a BMW and he was wearing one sock, boxers, and an undershirt. He came barreling through the crash site, nearly hit six deputies, dragged a traffic cone under his car. All the deputies had to jump out of the way of the car that was estimated to be driving about 100 miles an hour. And then he was pulled over, and he got out of his car and walked aggressively towards the deputies, according to the arrest report. When they arrested him, they found cocaine, a rolled-up dollar bill, a marijuana grinder, and hash oil vaporizer in his vehicle. He was taken to Sarasota County Jail. He's facing six counts of aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer. And when he was in the back of the patrol car, while they were trying to read him his Miranda rights, he kept making sexually suggestive noises at deputies and responding sarcastically. So he was in jail. That's what he is. Yeah. He seemed like a combative feller.
That outfit did not spell I have business at the Ritz.
Yes. One sock, boxers, and an undershirt.
Yeah, I could tell that was a lie. I could tell that was a lie.
This is hysterical. Florida woman attacks her roommate for playing Sheik's La Freak over and over again on a loop. Oh, man. 53-year-old Mary Ann Lannon has lived with her cousin in Clearwater for the last 5 years, and she lost it when the cousin would not stop playing Sheik's 1978 disco hit La Freak. And if you are confused, it's the one where they say freak out over and over again. So it was 12:15 in the morning on Tuesday this week. So Marianne shoved her 64-year-old cousin into a makeshift tiki bar, and it collapsed. Her cousin fell through the bar, landed face first on the speaker, and ended up with a black eye. Yeah. Cops arrested Marianne for the battery, domestic battery. She's barred from having any contact with a cousin for now. There's a movie that Kirsten Wiig is in. Kirsten Wiig is in, and it's like these two like middle-aged white women that are vacationing like in Florida, and I swear one of the women looks like it. If you look at her mugshot, Smoking Gun has it. This is probably one of my favorite shows, or favorite shows, my favorite stories, one of my favorite Florida man stories. Oh, let's see. So, okay, you remember the story that I had for you, the Florida man story that I had for you earlier this week, the Florida man who cut off the male copulatory organ of his wife's lover, Alex Bonilla. He entered a plea deal and he said that but the term he used was Willie. He was asked about it when he came to the victim's home. He was armed, and he told the victim that if he resisted in any way, he'd kill him. And he's like, no, you're not going to die today, but you will remember this for the rest of your life. And then when he was talking to the cops, he said, I cut his willy off. So there you go.
The
so
erection.
That's right. We've got it all. We've got playing LaFreak on loop. This guy cutting off willies and someone else who's going to the Ritz in a sock and a boxers and that undershirt. There you go.
They literally want to sacrifice the lives of our fellow Texans for, I don't know, for political gain, to satisfy certain powerful interests within the state. And this isn't hyperbole. You heard our lieutenant governor, arguably one of the most powerful positions in the state of Texas, say on Fox News at the beginning of the pandemic, we are willing to die. Old people are willing to sacrifice their lives in order
this
for
is such a stupid
the economy
hot
to
take
reopen.
From Bader. Robert O'Rourke, the Irishman who goes and appropriates there. He thinks he's going to run for something else. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you subscribe to Chapter and Verse. And I wrote about this last night, the hypocrisy over all of this. I've not heard him say anything about all of the people who are entering the country illegally without tests, or they test them and they find out that they're positive, and then they just are put on buses, and the bus companies are prohibited from asking whether or not these individuals have coronavirus tests, and if so, are they positive? And then they're sent throughout the rest of the country. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. And we've made it through the week, almost. It's Friday Eve. So, I called him in the newsletter, reformed drunk driver Robert Beto O'Rourke stopped playing Wonderwall in his furry band long enough to utter some unimpressively asinine half-thought, which is true. They literally want to sacrifice the lives of our fellow Texans for literally. Anyway, here's Wonderwall. It's not hyperbole. So you're telling me that it's not a sacrifice of lives to adversely affect or sacrifice lives during the lockdown precautionary measures? I mean, I've written about this, if we want to revisit it. The lives of teenagers and preteens and young kids impacted as they fall, about a full year behind in academics, and they miss major life milestones because not every school is reopened, conflicting with CDC recommendations. I bet he probably doesn't want to talk about the impact to businesses and loss of livelihood. Or what about the impact that releasing untested and infected illegal entrants has on the lives of border residents? Here's the other thing that I'm hearing, that it's somehow racist to oppose Biden's catch and release policy. And sidebar, it is Biden's catch and release policy. Just to remind you, he reinstated the catch and release policy at the southern border. And this was done just at the beginning of the month of February. He signed an executive order that was three parts, revoking former President Trump's ending of that controversial practice. And they made some sweeping changes. And it only permits the Border Patrol to hold an illegal entrant crossing the border for up to 72 hours. That's it. And they don't even have the ability to test everyone. Cities are having to race to get the tests, and volunteers are having to go and test people. And in Brownsville, in just 1 week, they had 100 people, over 100 people that tested positive. And that's just what they were able to test. And they got on buses. And remember, the buses are barred, according to people who work for the bus companies. They're barred from asking whether or not these people are positive or not, or if they've even had a test. And then they go throughout the rest of the country. But apparently giving people the choice to wear masks or not wear masks is what's dangerous. But that's not. No, but now it's considered racist. So I pointed this out on Twitter, and this guy named Kevin Sullivan, and I'm using him as an avatar for all the people who said this. And also because when Kevin played stupid games, he won stupid prizes. This is one of them. So I wrote about how the catch and release, these other migrants, I actually quoted the Washington Times piece. I said, quote, the other migrants, the catch and release newcomers showing up at the border who weren't part of that, the asylum seekers staying in Mexico, they are not required to show any testing before they're sent into communities, according to border sheriffs. And Kevin Sullivan wrote back and said, he responded to me and said, you hate brown people so bad. The irony of a super white guy named Kevin Sullivan, who lives in Utah, talking about quote unquote brown people. That is such a stupid response. Anybody who has that response. I mean, clearly, super white Kevin has never been to the border because there are quote unquote brown people living in towns like McAllen and Brownsville and other border cities who oppose a free-for-all release of untested illegal entrants into their communities, too. You know, those are the communities that the media ignores. You will never see MSNBC going down to McAllen and trying to talk people down to McAllen. You will never see Jim Acosta going and talking to anybody in McAllen. Because they'll first, A, they will clean his shine box, so to speak. Lack of a better way to say that. And number two, it disrupts every single narrative that they have about illegal immigration. Every single one. These fellow Americans also don't want people entering the country illegally. Especially when they're not, they can't even test everybody. How are you going to claim that you're so concerned about the pandemic when you're literally fighting against testing people who are entering the country illegally? If Kane, if you go to Cancun, you know, if you tag along with Cruz and you go down to Cancun and you come back and, you know, you got your, I went to Cancun starter pack, you know, you got your, the beach braids happening, you got your sandals going, your weird,
obviously tan,
sports sunglasses, tan, face tan.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, uh-huh. And you got to get a test before you come back in. Ooh. Unless you try to sneak across the Rio.
Oh.
Then you're in the clear, man.
Hmm. Weirdly makes no sense.
Right?
All right.
I mean, we're not saying that that's, you know, we're not saying that you are a bitch. We're saying that your behavior is like, you know, the Neanderthal that, thinking,
it
right?
It clears it up.
Yeah, it totally clears it up. It just doesn't make any sense. Yeah, they did have this this catch and release. It's up at, by the way, I have all of this cited at Chapter and Verse, which is why you need to subscribe to that newsletter, because y'all had this last night. Mm-hmm. Y'all had it last night. But that's not... I'm curious about all of the outrage over this. There were asylum seekers testing positive in Brownsville. Border Patrol has to release them. You have people who are entering illegally, and then you have the quote unquote asylum seekers. And they're supposed to be processed similarly, but they said that several of the asylum seekers who tested positive told Telemundo that they were planning to leave Brownsville for their destination. There was a 29-year-old from Honduras, one example, who tested positive. She's going to North Carolina. And she goes, I really don't feel anything. She's asymptomatic. And they're not allowed to, according to, what is it, Omnibus? They're not allowed to ask people getting on board if they've had tests before boarding the bus. They're not allowed to ask that. You know, but, oh my gosh, they're allowing you to wear masks or not. They're allowing you to choose. Oh, heavens. So out of all the places that I've never really been interested in going to, I have another reason not to go to China. I don't think anybody would. I know that they're getting ready for the Beijing Olympics and everyone's arguing over. I was listening to this Olympic athlete, former Olympic athlete, talking today, and he was like, I wish governments would stop using athletes as pawns, and the time to object to this stuff is when they're bidding. I understand the bidding part, but why should we go over and do anything with China when, A, they have the genocide camps kicking off after what they did and their irresponsible, reckless handling of the coronavirus? And also, are you guys going to take anal swabs? Because those are mandatory for all foreign people and for all people who are not Chinese residents entering the country. It's mandatory. They've made coronavirus anal swab tests mandatory. I saw a meme that said, there's a swab in my thingamabob by Dr. Seuss. I can read it all by myself. Anal swab. Oh, man. Do you get a steak dinner first? I'm curious. I'm wondering if business travel. Yeah, Steve goes, Horton feels a poo. Oh, that's so bad. I like broke my tooth off on a milk dud last night. And I don't know. And I'm trying hard not to laugh because when I do, cold air, it kills me. Cold air comes in. And so I'm like trying to laugh and then going, it actually fits here. But an anal swab. Oh my gosh, of course there is a video of it.
What?
No, yeah, I accidentally scrolled and saw it.
I'm going to request Rachel I not synced play it. That video.
I synced it. It was a video. Oh. It's a video of someone with a really long Q-tip.
So is this like the most accurate way to test for the coronavirus? Is that why they're doing this? Or is it really just to further the pain they've caused the world? I thought it was a cheek swab,
but maybe it's what they meant.
Yeah. You didn't specify which
I don't understand
cheeks.
This. Like, seriously, how is that? Hang on. I got to Google this.
I'm sure it's a more accurate test somehow. Accurate. Don't they have like a colon cancer thing where you can mail your poop and it actually comes back whether or not you have cancer?
Japan says China's COVID anal swab test caused psychological distress.
You think?
Yeah. So is it more accurate? I mean, they claim that it's more accurate, but is it? that seems made up.
I'd have to be really convinced that it's the most accurate test out there before I'd even consider it.
Is this from the Department of Embarrassment or the Health? I don't know. And they said isn't this a respiratory disease?
Totally is. It's a virus too, so it's like, what virus test? Any other? Just tell me of any other virus test that requires an anal swab. I'll eat my words, I guess. I've never heard of one. I'm pretty sure there isn't.
Isn't this kind of like?
I'm pretty sure there's not.
I'm like 12.
Seems rather invasive.
I'm going to read. There was an internet user who described the procedure at Global Times. And she said a total mental breakdown because it's awful. She says that you take off your pants, you bend over, and then they stick cotton in your butt. And it takes 10 seconds each time because they have to turn it.
Wait, the whole procedure or the actual swabbing part?
The actual swabbing.
It takes 10 seconds.
10 seconds. We need to check you for this respiratory disease. Bend over. We need to check to see if you have a respiratory virus. We're going to need to swab you now anally. I'm calling shenanigans.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I mean, I am so made. So Japan, I love this headline. I can't stop laughing about this headline. This is an actual headline. Japan says China's COVID anal swab test caused psychological distress, asks for them to stop.
I've been looking for the whole anal swab being more accurate. That test to be more. And there is nothing on that.
I'm dying. I'm dying.
I think we have bigger issues to worry about at this moment.
I don't think so.
So. This, I mean, I would imagine this good because it's for everybody coming in. So, and by the way, at first they said it was an error that they were subjecting all U.S. personnel to it. And now they're like, no, this is going to be the thing now.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So I have an update for you, too, about the Jen Psaki responded to the bus thing. So we're going to talk about that. Boy, I love mail-in voting. Let's see how great this is. The Hill has this headline. An audit found that a North Carolina post office marked over 40,000 packages delivered while they were never delivered and actually just sitting at the station. Yeah. The U.S. Postal Service They determined that a North Carolina post office marked more than 40,000 packages as delivered last year. And they said that, actually it was over, 41,367 packages were marked as delivered even though they had never left the station. They were still there. Some of them were falsely marked no access to the delivery location or animal interference when that wasn't the case at all. I have to say, I've been having a major problem with UPS as well because sometimes they'll just put packages like almost in the road. And we've had so many things go missing. Like, I just don't even order things anymore if it is going through that, because there's so many things that we've had that just never make it. I'm not kidding. So it's, I don't know what's happening there, but we should probably spend more government money on it. Right? Isn't that how it goes? Oh, my heavens. All right. So moving on here. Austria and Denmark are partnering with Israel on coronavirus vaccines. And they are not going to any longer rely on the too slow European Union, which is good news and awesome. The Israeli development is just going too quickly. So, and the EU is just dragging its feet, probably because a lot of unenforced errors in bureaucracy, I would imagine, as well. And someone is actually going to buy Epstein's creepy New York City mansion for $50 million. Gross. Stay with us.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Okay, I don't really
have- so we're getting up for you some audio just a little bit ago. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash, of some Q&A, some of the press with Jen Psaki. And two things to address, because the hot topic, of course, has been everybody's mad about Texas reopening, but yet no one's talking about all of these, and not just in Texas, but all of these border areas that are being overrun thanks to the new Biden policies on immigration. I mean, his first week in office, he had three executive orders where he was rolling back a lot of these Trump executive orders. One of those executive orders that Trump was the implementation, the stopping of catch and release as it was under Obama. Biden has renewed catch and release. And so now Border Patrol, the border agents, they're not allowed to hold anyone who's entering illegally for longer than 72 hours, regardless of whether or not they test positive for coronavirus. And in many instances, they are unable to test everyone because the entry is becoming overwhelming. And also, one of the reasons for that entry becoming overwhelming is that Biden has also kicked up, put back into effect the Flores Amendment. And Flores, if you remember, was if someone who's coming across the border illegally, and if they are considered like a family unit, even if they're not exactly related, as long as there is a child in the group, these individuals, because of the child, are going to be processed and released faster than if it was just a group of adults sans child. And so that's contributing to this problem. The asylum process that Trump had in effect, I wrote about this over at the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. The asylum program that they had into effect, that Trump had in effect, was individuals who were seeking asylum would stay. They were staying in Mexico, and it was a policy that Mexico was honoring. And now, apparently, with Biden renewing catch and release and the first of his, three executive orders, he had three executive orders on immigration rolling all this stuff back. Now people are just allowed to flood through, and similar kind of response to those who are asylum seekers in that they're processing them, they're getting them through, and then maybe they're tested, maybe they're not. And the crazy thing is that, and I have everything cited, and you're welcome to go and look at it again, Chapter and Verse. This is why you need to subscribe to this newsletter. And this was a public one, that the number of people that they're able to test is actually, they're not able to test everyone. And that the reason why they're not able to test everyone is, number one, no one has the resources to be able to handle the kind of surge that they're seeing of people coming in across the border. That's number one. Number two, a lot of these areas did not allocate within the budget. It's kind of difficult to anticipate that something like this is going to happen, and that you would need a significant budget amount to be able to even obtain tests, etc., which are not cheap, by the way, especially when you do those rapid tests. I know the rapid tests that I do, when we travel and we come back and I want to get, it's like $150, like, and you get it within 15 minutes. And this, these tests, because they have to do the rapid antigen test. This is where I pretend to be a scientist. not cheap. And they, and then how do you get them administered? Because you have to have people who know what they're doing to administer them, and there are not enough people. So you have a lot of volunteers racing around trying to cover everything. Now, in Brownsville, city officials said that they were able, like, I think, what, just towards the, when they started testing, their first week or so of testing, they had over 100 people that were positive. That's just the people they were able to test in Brownsville. That's not even getting into the other areas across the border. So there was 108 people approximately that were coronavirus positive. And when they board buses, according to Omnibus, they're not allowed to ask. And that's the name of the company, of one of the bus companies that is working with border agents, et cetera. When people get on the buses and go to wherever they're going throughout the United States, buses are not allowed to ask people boarding whether or not they've had a coronavirus test, whether or not they're even positive. They're not allowed to ask that. So this has been the policy. Now, Jen Psaki was asked about this, and I have like a transcript of some of the stuff that she had said. She was asked about this during one presser, and she actually was saying, "Oh well, it's false. That's not happening. I mean, they're not testing. They're not testing people. They're not just like releasing people throughout the country that are positive." Well, that's not true. They absolutely are. I mean, they it's not up for debate. They are absolutely, without a doubt, absolutely releasing people who are positive. And in many instances, they're not even able to test people. And there were a lot of people that were talking to the press talking to Telemundo, who were saying that they tested positive, but they felt fine. They were asymptomatic. Oh, and one other quick thing. They're not given any kind of record if they're one of the lucky few that are able to get tested, because there's so many coming through. They're not given, like, what would you call it, Kane? Like, not a receipt, but like some kind of documentation that says you were tested and you're either negative or you're positive. They're not given, they're just told. And then that's, you know,
yeah,
because they can't handle it all.
Yeah. It's overwhelming the system in every small town along the border.
But Jen Psaki says, oh no, this is not happening. I mean, this is not, it's not going like this. I don't know what people are, it's not happening, but it is though. That's the problem. And I'm not, you know, I'm looking at some of the, here, I had this pulled up. You have to forgive me here, because I had some of these pulled up. She was saying that first it wasn't true that this was happening. And then she was asked, who's responsible for the testing of this? And she was saying, well, it's basically non-government entities that have to do it. It's not the government can mandate this mess with the policy, but we're not going to be involved in like the testing. This is some of, I think Kane has some Irish of the exchange that just happened.
Irish protocol and the recent strong statements on these governments' full commitment to the good
of children coming across the border. And if so, does that mean that you consider it an actual genuine emergency?
Well, I would say that that's probably a question for the Department of Homeland Security, who obviously oversees that, and the Department of Health and Human Services, who oversees the facilities and the shelters where these kids are. Certainly one of our concerns is that there is, you know, as we were talking about earlier, an influx of kids at a rate and a pace that is going to require us to, you know, make considerations about where we're going to safely house them. And that is something that is under discussion in the administration. But I don't have any, I would just send you to them, who oversee, the Department of Homeland Security oversees the process.
So this, because she had said NBC News had even, it was quoting her as well, but she was saying that it's not factual that these positive illegal immigrants are released into, but that's absolutely false. It absolutely is true. It is absolutely 1,000% true. That is not even up for debate. So she just lied when she made that response that, no, this is not happening. It's not. And the other concern, here you have American citizens that are told we have to stay face covered, locked down, etc. But if you're entering illegally, you can basically do whatever you want. The way that Psaki was answering the question, as I understand, and I'm reading a number of reporter tweets on this, she absolutely would not say that it was the federal government's job, as by way of the policies that created this mess, to test illegal entrants or asylum seekers from coming into the country. and that it was in no way the federal government's job to stop coronavirus positive illegal entrants or asylum seekers from getting on the buses. And that the responsibility falls to non-government organizations. Excuse me. You know what that means, non-government organizations. You. You. Oof. I'm just wow. So that's where it is. Do not allow these people to gaslight you into thinking that you're the bad person because you want the freedom to choose when you wear a mask and where. Especially when they're actually adding to and compounding the problem because they refuse to test everyone. They refuse to, you're not even, if you go into any, let me just give you an example here. So I had some friends that were getting ready. They were actually going to go to Mexico. They were going to go, it wasn't Cancun, I can't remember. It was like a resort thing for spring break. And their spring break is like, I think next week. And they were going to go, it's my friend and her husband and their three kids. And it was their last family spring break because their oldest daughter's a senior in high school. And the mom tested, she's asymptomatic, but she tested positive. And one of the kids is asymptomatic, but tested positive. And everyone else is, they didn't even know. And they think it had to do with like a kid's event or something. They don't know. No, it was the middle one. It was the middle one, the sophomore. And so they have to provide, like when you're going to any of these other foreign countries, you have to provide like a negative test so many days in advance. And then if you test negative or if you test positive at any point, you have to be negative, have like two or three negative tests to get in. So basically, they wouldn't even be allowed into Mexico. She wouldn't even be allowed into Mexico because she would it would come up as a positive. Now, I have many questions about this because I'm like, what's your cycle threshold? Is that even being included in this? Because remember, we had this big old conversation. If your CT is like anywhere from 30 to 35 and up, then you're clinically not contagious and not infected. But whatever. We don't include any nuance like that because you can't fearmonger about numbers if you do. So she wouldn't even be able. And she was like, we were all in a group text and she was just like, oh my gosh, I can't. You know, thankfully they had like trip insurance and everything just in case. But, you know, it's kind of a bummer because now they can't go. And she was like, even if we were trying to go, there's no, she's like, they wouldn't allow me in. I would have to get on a plane, go right back. And then the United States would want her to take a test to come back in. So I was joking with her last night. I was like, you should just like cross the Rio, just like sneak across the Rio. So why is it that there are two sets of expectations when it comes to following the law? That's discriminatory. If you want to have a discussion about what is or is not discrimination. And this is why reasonable people are up in arms. And this is why it is insulting for the administration to lie to people about what is actually happening and has already been widely reported.
I have some audio I think that we were mm-hmm. looking for earlier that may shed some light on. I know we have a little bit of time before you have to go to break if you want to hear
yes.
any of this. All right, let's do that.
The Biden administration must stop importing COVID into the country because he claims that COVID positive migrants are being bused into Texas and then sent to other places in the country. Do you have a response to that? And can you elaborate on what the government is doing to test migrants, if anything?
Sure. Well, we're about facts around here. That is not factual.
Absolutely factual.
Let me give you an overview of what happens. When migrants are placed in alternatives to detention, their COVID-19 testing, our policy is for COVID-19 testing to be done at the state and local level and with the help of NGOs and local governments.
Yeah, right,
and that certainly is something that our policy is for to have that be done.
This real quick. So the federal policy is creating a disaster at the border, and it's and you have to look at non-government groups and state and local agencies to help deal with the problem that the federal government created. And she is absolutely, unequivocally, I will bet everything on it, because I've seen it widely reported, and they're actually interviewing people who are coming across the border and testing positive before they, right as they're getting on the bus. So she's lying to you. She's absolutely lying to you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Concluded before they are even moved to go stay with family members or others they may know while their cases are being adjudicated. And of course, our guidance to anyone, regardless of status, is testing positive for COVID-19 or experiencing COVID-like symptoms, is to social distance, to wear a mask, and seek medical attention as needed. But in general, our approach and our policy is to work with local governments, work with NGOs to ensure these migrants are tested, and that can take place, and that steps for isolation, quarantining, and medical care can be taken should that be needed.
So she's lying. Let's pause here. We got to go to break, but she's lying, because they absolutely are. And I have all the receipts in the newsletter that you received last night.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Oh boy, I'll have that video for you in the newsletter as well. But what Psaki is saying is absolutely demonstrably false. And yes, we are about facts here on the program. And what she just said is not factual, that that they're not releasing untested or coronavirus positive illegal entrants or asylum seekers into the country when they unbelievably, absolutely, unequivocally, receipts are not up for debate at all whatsoever, because she's lying. That's a lie. You can have whatever opinion you want to on the policy. And her lie, by the way, is not only contradicted by every city official that is on record with NBC and Bloomberg even. And oh my gosh, let me look at all the receipts in the post that I wrote, the piece I wrote about this last night and sent out to all of the subscribers who were smart to subscribe, so they have all of this stuff. Everyone. Who else do I have here? Everybody's on this. Washington Times, Bloomberg, Associated Press, NBC News, CBS, New York Post, New York Times. I mean, who do I not have? It's everywhere. Western Journal. And also on record, Brownsville administrators, the McAllen mayor, and illegal entrants and asylum seekers themselves. Oof. Yeah. What was that again? Because we're about facts here. Today in Stupidity came.
All right. Associated Press's Jonathan Lemire claims that during the George Floyd situation, that there was no violence in those protests. Listen to
Paul, first of all, let's be very clear as to the different makeup of these protesters, of the people we saw in June versus the people we saw in January. In June, these were nonviolent protesters, racially mixed, a lot of young people, fueled by the Black Lives Matter movement, those outraged by the death of George Floyd, a black man.
So those weren't violent, although we have literally on record billions of dollars of damage. Yet somehow.
And video.
Yeah. Yet somehow.
There's that, also that.
That's different or not equivalent to what happened January 6th.
And arrest records. There's that too. Tomorrow is Friday, and we're going to play real or fake cancel culture. You have to determine what story's real and what story's fake, and it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done, ever. Folks, have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.